As in the past years, we're going to be explaining some of the keynotes. This will be an opportunity to reflect. Also, as we go, will be an opportunity if you need to catch up to the keynotes, that you feel free to continue while I'm talking, and hopefully what I say will be meaningful in some way. So the first kina that we say, Shabbos Suru, Meni Shimunu Achrai. So this is by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. It starts with the word Shabbos, which is one of the last psukim of Eicha. And we think of Shabbos as a very happy time. Shabbos this year was a very interesting Shabbos because it was also Tisha B'Av, was really on Shabbos. Today is the 10th of Av, it's a Nidcha. Shabbos really, the word Shabbos, like we see, means to stop, to cease. Like we talk about on Pesach, Hashbasas Chametz, that you have to cease from the Chametz, which could mean to destroy, or could mean to mentally cease, it could mean a lot of things. And it had the implication, Rav Soloveitchik explained, the suddenness. That when the destruction came, Shabbos Suri Menu Shimuni Achrai, everything ceased. Our detractor said, he said, get away, Zachil Ma'otzi Shimani Be'adrei Chabarai. They called us dirty and disgusting and repulsive, worse than all our peers. And it was very sudden. Even though there were many, many, many warnings about the Chorban, we know when it comes to the Chorban Bayis Rishon, Yirmiyahu had been warning the people about the Chorban for 40 years. He was a Navi for 40 years prior to the Chorban. There were many other Nevi'im of that time. Nebuchadnezzar, this wasn't the first time he had come to conquer Yisrael. It wasn't the second time. They already had the Gullus of the Aseret HaShvatim, of the 10 tribes. They already had the Gullus of the Cheresh and the Masker, which were the artisans and the middle class and the Torah scholars. We know that Yechezkel had already been brought into Gullus, and Daniel had already been brought into Gullus, and Mordechai had already been brought into Gullus. So why should it be a surprise when the final straw, Yechoniah, the king, had been brought into Gullus, and he was already in jail, in prison, in Bavel. And they had appointed a new king and rechanged his name to Sidkio, so he would be subservient to them, the Babylonians, Yimach Shemam. So why was it such a shock when they finally did the last straw and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? But it's always a shock. We never really expect it to happen. It's a shock. Sakosa Mishkan Miskot Divirai. They spread out a Mishkan over the Devir. The Devir is a word that's used as a synonym to describe the Beis HaMikdash. We think about Sukkos, a Sukkah, a covering, and a Sukkah, even the Sukkah, as representative of our connection with Hashem. It's the Ananiya Kavod. Right, as we talk about what it's the clouds of glory of God that are kind of showing the Shechina on us. But here it's the opposite. Sakota Mishkan Biskot Dibirai. That's kind of like God is making a curtain to divide us, to separate us from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to have a Hester Panim, to have God hidden in the world, like there, you can't look up to the heavens and see Hashem, you can only see some type of division. So here, it's the exact opposite, that our means of connecting to Hashem has now been closed off from us with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Nefla Odenu Besur Zuchriyai, she's fallen, she has fallen to the depth, but there she remains. But then it says, "Eini chikta lechazon ben brechia." Our eyes, and we're going to talk about eyes a lot today, our eyes are looking up to the chazon, to nevuah of ben brechia. What is this a reference to? So this is a reference to a very famous story, and anyone who's made Asiyam HaMesektas Makas knows it, because at the very end of Mesektas Makas, and it's based on Psukim, as we're going to describe in Yeshayahu, and then in Micha, and then in Zechariah, that Rabbi Akiva, and actually it was, and I copied this down so I'd get it right, It was actually a news headline in the Jerusalem Post from 3 days ago. 3 days ago, I don't read the actual physical paper. I can't bring in a copy, but at least on the online edition, it said, the headline said, foxes seen walking near the Western Wall, fulfilling biblical prophecy. That was the headline of the Jerusalem Post. No kidding. You can, as someone used to say, we won't say his name, but he was a famous manager of both the Yankees and the Mets. You can look it up. So, the headline, what is a reference to? It's a reference to a famous story. Rabbi Akiva was walking with the other Talmidei Chachamim, and they were by Haratzofim, by Mount Scopus, and those even today, if you've ever been to Yerushalayim, hopefully we've all been there, and we'll be there soon to see the Beis Hamikdash b'Mehera Bimeinu. When you get to Haratzofim, when you get to Mount Scopus, it's the first time you can look down, and all of a sudden, at least it feels to me, you see Har HaBayis. And for us nowadays, it's usually a relatively happy thought. We're at Yerushalayim. We don't think like Chazal think. When they saw Har HaBayis, what did they see? They saw foxes seen walking near the Temple Mount. But none of them thought, at least none of them except for Rabbi Akiva, that this could possibly be fulfilling a biblical promise. What they thought was, Oy Mahal Yalanu. And they started crying. They saw a fox walking on Har HaBayis, and Rabbi Akiva, he had different eyes than the rest of them. When he saw the fox, he started laughing. And the Gemara goes, that Rabbi Chachamim, the Chazal, they said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? And they said they were crying. It's obvious. The site where the Kohen Gadol could only go on Yom Kippur, and if he wasn't properly prepared, he would be stricken down on the spot because of the great Kedusha. And now foxes are walking there. How could you not be crying? And he said, that's why I'm laughing. Because that means that the prophecy has been fulfilled. The prophecy was at the time of Yeshayahu Anavi says, I'm making two witnesses to my prophecies. One of them is Uriah Cohen, and the other is Inichikta Lechazon Ben Brachia, Zachariah Ben Brachia. What are we talking about? Uriah Cohen, who was a prophet at the time of Yirmiyahu, actually was imprisoned and killed for his speaking out that the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. So Uriah Cohen used to quote Micha Marashti, Micha, who was also a prophet. Micha had the famous prophecy, Sidon Besada Tichrosh. Zion will be plowed like a field, which is one of the reasons why we cry on Tisha B'Av. That's one of the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av, that Zion, that Yerushalayim was plowed like a field. So that's prophecy number one. Zion will be plowed like a field. That's the first witness that Yeshayahu says. What's the second witness of Yeshayahu? Zechariah ben Berechiah. What's Zechariah ben Berechiah? He says, Oh, Yeshu, Zechenin, Zechenos, and Yeladim, and Yeladot, Berechovot, Yerushalayim, that once again the elderly and the young will be dancing in the streets of Jerusalem. That's prophecy number two. So what does this mean? It means that prophecy number one, obviously we know what it means. It means your Yerushalayim will be so destroyed that the Har HaBayis will be plowed away. There'll be no remnant whatsoever of the Beis Hamikdash apparent in the world. What's prophecy number two? Prophecy number two, when you have a time of peace, there's a time of peace. But even in a time of peace, you could have a neighborhood where there's technically no war, but someone who's a kid, or someone who's an old man and old lady wouldn't walk on that street. You know, you'd be a little careful. But then you have such a time of peace that the old elderly and the young could be sitting outside and they could be there at midnight or in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. And they're never afraid. No one's going to hurt them. That's the ultimate prophecy of peace. And Rabbi Akiva said, I didn't know. He said, why are there two witnesses in Yeshayahu? Because they're dependent on each other. One has to happen for the other to happen. Until the field of Zion is plowed, it can't be, the prophecy number two won't come true, that there'll be such a time of peace in the streets of Yerushalayim that the old and the young will dance together and sing. And Rabbi Akiva said, I was worried. When will this prophecy come true? But now I see foxes prowling. Foxes, you don't see them in populated neighborhoods, although maybe we do in West Orange sometimes. You see them up in the mountains. You see them where there aren't people around. So if foxes are going, in Harabayas. That means that it's like the fields have been plowed, it's been completely destroyed. And now, Rabbi Kiva says, I can see the silver lining. So even in the first of the keynotes, we say, Eini chikta lechazon ben brachia. We're still looking forward to the final chazon of Lechaya ben brachia to come true. In Yirmiyo, composed kinos, lamentations about Yoshio. So this is the first of the kinos that told the story of an individual person rather than the korban. And that person, Yoshio HaMelech, who is the king, the last great king of Yehuda, of the Jewish people, before the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the first destruction of the first, this destruction of the first temple. And the question is, why do we mention this? He did not die, I believe, on Tisha B'Av. I don't think so. And the reason is because the famous Gemara, Shekula Misasan Shal Sadikim Kisrefas Beis Elokeinu. The death of our Sadikim is equal to the burning of our house. And this is really for a dual reason, Reb Soloveitchik explains. One is just simple pshat. It's as tragic as the loss, the physical korban. It's equally tragic, the Torah that's lost. And we're going to mention many examples of the kinos that come. We're going to talk about the Asar Rigi Malchus, the great Tanaim, who were killed by the Romans, Maximum. And we're going to talk later about the cities of Worms and Mainz and all and Cologne and the cities in Germany that were destroyed by the Crusaders, Yimach Shemam. And then we're going to add keynotes at the end in the same theme that were composed in recent times, one by Rav Shimon Schwab, one I believe by the Baba Rebbe, about the destruction of the Jews in the Shoah by the German, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Because the death of Sadiqim is a tragic loss, like the Beis Hamikdash, but there's something more, especially when it comes to this one, to Yoshio's death. It's that the death of Yoshio is the cause of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. He was the last great king. After him, his son took over, who were not nearly as great. It was only 22 years after his death that the Beis Hamikdash was then destroyed. After his first son, Yoyakim, was king for 11 years, and then he was killed, and Yechoniah was king for 6 months, and he was exiled at the famous Choniah Melech Yehuda that's mentioned in Megillat Esther. And then finally, as I mentioned before, Matanya, who was the oldest son and probably the least worthy, was made king by the Babylonians. They changed his name to Sidkiyahu. He rebels. 11 years later, he's gone. So it's a direct cause. But there's something more to it, because these tzaddikim are really what give us the guidance. Now, when we look at just a couple of things, and we're going to go back to the Eicha, what is Yirmiyahu's kina that he composed? So according to Chazal, that's the fourth chapter of Eicha. Eicha Yuam, so even in Eicha itself, but now when he talks about the destruction on a national level, but also on an individual level of Yoshio. Eicha Yuam Zahav Yishneh Kesem Atov, how the gold has become dim, this great fine gold is changed. Tishtafekna Avnei Kodesh Berosh Kol Chutzot, the hallowed stones are poured out on the streets. This is a reference to the death, the great, beautiful gold of Yoshio. Now, there's something interesting about this kina. This kina is in the Aliphase, not so interesting. A lot of poetry by Radha Kalir and Tanakh are in the Aliphase. But if you look at the Aliphase, and I discovered this morning, Rabbi Stone, this is incredible. This kina follows the Aliphase, except you get the Samach, Suru ad loshi yavima inu bat yisod nisya, and then samich ayin pei fei, right? That's the song. But then it says pei. Pinei Karav lo also lo shiya. The enemies came and they put arrows in Yoshio. Odenu, then it has ayin. Otse meina begev yon lochatim. Cheta chachet marim lochatim. This kina followed the Aleph-es, although it switches the pay and the ayin. It should be ayin pay, but it's pay and then ayin in this kina by Elazar HaKalir. Now, why is that? Because Elazar Kalir was following Eicha. And this is where Stone explained a couple of weeks ago in the name of Rav Moshe Shapiro, which is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that in Eicha, the first chapter of Eicha is following the Aleph-es. The next three chapters are following the Aleph-es, but in the next three chapters of Eicha, the Ayin and the Pei are switched to the Pei and the Ayin. Actually, there are five examples in Eicha where the ayin and the pay are switched, because chapter 3 has the aleph bays 3 times, so chapter 2 plus 3 and 3 plus 1 and 4 equals 5. Perhaps that's for the five things we mourn on Tisha B'Av. We mourn the destruction. We mourn the Chet HaMeraglim in the Midbar, which happened the 9th of Av. They cried for no reason. Then destruction of the first temple, the second temple, destruction of Beitar. And then finally, Tuanis Rufus, which I referenced before, plowing Sion to fulfill the prophecy of Micha, Sidon Besada Tichrosh, that Sion was plowed. So there are five things we mourn according to Chazal. Obviously, there's much more now. But at the time of Chazal, five things we mourn for Tisha B'Av. And there are five times the Aleph Beis is switched. And why? And so as Rabbi Stone explained, based on Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because you're supposed to put your ayin before your path. You're supposed to put your eyes before your mouth. You're supposed to first look, and then you're supposed to speak. You're supposed to look at things with open eyes. Unfortunately, too many of us, and I quoted this online on the Usserdick social media, and people really resonated, because that's all social media is nowadays. They put their mouth before their eyes. They decide what they're going to know or think or speak. And then whatever they see, no matter what, fits into that script. And that was the Chet HaMeraglim. They brought back beautiful fruit of gorgeous land, we said in the Parsha. But they were going to interpret it as a horrible thing, because that was their preconceived notion. So they said, this is proof that there are a giant there, and the cities are fortified to the heavens, we can't conquer. They put their path before their eye. And perhaps this was the sin, but in a very incredibly positive way, of Yoshio himself. Because what was Yoshio's Avera? So the Gemara describes, and it's really based almost directly on Psukim over here in this Kina, that B'nei Shmona Echel Lidrosh Me'elav, he became the king at 8 years, sorry, 8 years old, he started doing tshuva, he started a tremendous tshuva movement. But then what happened? He didn't know about the people. It says, Davak bo avon leitzanei ador. It was glued on him. It was attached to him. The chait of the leitzanim, the late, the lowlives, the scorners of the generation. Asher achar adeles kamu lizdor. They put behind their doors, they put their statues. What happened? He led police throughout the land to get rid of all of Avodah Zarah, because his grandfather Menashe had been doing Avodah Zarah for 55 years and he was going to get rid of it. And get no idols in any house. The police would come into the house, they'd see no idols. And then the idols were really hidden on the door. So when they opened the door, the police didn't see it. When they closed the door, yeah, it was there again. Now, Yoshio's problem was, why do I say he put his mouth before his eyes? Because Yoshio's big avera, at least in my interpretation, I've seen others say, was he loved the people too much. He thought too highly of them. He put their mouth before his eyes. He refused to believe they were doing Avodah Zarah once he made this great Baal Tshuva movement. And even though Yirmiyahu told him, you're wrong, Yirmiyahu the Navi has eyes and he sees. He says, even though it's hiding, the idols are still there. But Yirmiyahu didn't believe it. He said, no, there's no idols. And if that's no idols, then later on the story goes that Paro Necho want to come into Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to conquer Israel. He wants to go north to battle the Babylonians in the famous Battle of Carchemish. And but what does Yoshio said? It says in the Psukim that when you have a time of peace, Lo tavor artechem b'artechem. When I'm going to give you peace, there won't even be a cher. Lo tavor cher b'artechem. There won't be a sword in your land. It already said you'll be peace. What did it mean there won't be a sword? It means there won't even be a sword of peace. And he got the pshat right. That when there's true, everyone following b'chokotai teilechu, following the mitzvos, then there won't even be a sword of peace in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore armies shouldn't even be able to go through Eretz Yisrael, even if they don't want to conquer Israel, they just want to pass through. What he didn't realize, because he didn't look with his eyes carefully enough, Yirmiyahu did, Yirmiyahu told him, but the people aren't following the chukos. They're not as good as you. But he refused to believe his eyes because he had his path that he said the people are. If you think about it, it's so tragic. His avera was that he believed in us too much. And it said, but at the end, Odenu otem eina begevyo nochatim, his eyes eventually close when they're pounding his body. When they fight him, when Paro Nechal went and Yoshiyahu met on the battlefield, and all the archers killed Yoshiyahu with arrow after arrow after arrow after arrow. Sadu v'samuav g'matirah l'chitzim v'yizruku bosh los me'ot kutim. He becomes almost like a target. 300 arrows are in his body. He has one last breath. And as his last glass, what can he say in his last breath? He realizes the emes, that even though he tried his best for the people to be better, Sadeku Hashem Kimarisu Fiu, because he didn't put his eyes before his path. Look at this. I am a tzaddik for Hashem because my piu, because my peh, because I put my peh before my ayin, because I defied his word with my peh. And this was the aver of Yoshiyahu, shekula misasam shel tzaddikim kisreifas beis elokim. So Tet Zayin, Kina 16, tells the story. Zechor et asher asa tsar bifnim. Remember what the enemy did in the innermost precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. Shalav cheref, he harbo, he took out his sword, v'bal lifnim lifnim. He went into innermost of the innermost chambers of Kodesh Kedashim. This is the story of what Titus HaRasha Yimach Shemo did. The story from the second bit, Chorban Bayis Sheni. When he entered the Beis HaMikdash is burning. Already probably the 10th of Av, it started burning on the 9th, and it burned into the 10th. And Titus comes in with his sword out. And we know, and we're going to talk about it in a moment, that you have to be properly prepared. We're learning Gemara Yuma, myself and my Chavrusa, and you have to have the Kohen Gadol at Dav. I think he only has 4 begadim when he enters the Kodesh Kedoshim. But he has to have his begadim on, he has to have, do the proper preparations, he has to do the prisha before Yom Kippur, and then he can come into the Kodesh Kedoshim and hopefully, he'll atone, he'll get kapara for Bnei Yisrael, and he'll come out alive. This tsar comes in with his sword out. And what else happens? He goes, V'gider nachol teret parochat ba'alat shtei panim. He takes his sword and he pierces the parochah. As we know, at the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was just a parochah separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kedoshim. There was no Aron HaBrit anymore in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Aron HaBrit was buried by Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who we talked about, in an innermost chamber under Har HaBayis. So it was under the Beis HaMikdash, but it was not physically inside the Holy of Holies. And so Titus comes and he takes his sword on the parochas. Yisomim gil mamage ma'adam. The orphaned nation he disgraced with his bloody shield. V'yamadid kabamara dam dam. He drew a line in reddish line. Mimeni dalak v'yisker chitzab midam. Yata min abayit b'chabo malei adam. When he leaves the temple, his sword is full of blood. What's going on here? Hashem made a miracle. It wasn't a happy miracle, but it was a miracle that when he pierced the parochas started to bleed. His sword was full of blood. And he said that he has Kabiyachol killed Hashem, that God is dead. He said, that's what he thought. We know that he's gone and we're still here. Aboseinu Zarak Ikniso Bachurabach La'esh. In the time of our forefathers, when the great Bachurim, the sons of Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, bring in an Esara into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Holy of Holies, they had the best of intentions. They were in a religious ecstasy. But since it wasn't allowed, which Esara was a foreign fire, they were consumed with fire. Hashem doesn't allow that. And when you're talking about the Kodesh Kodesh, it's like high voltage. You have to be careful. And this low life brings a zona into the Beis HaMikdash to defile her in the Holy of Holies with his sword and his boots and his uniform. And he's not filled with fire. And we know the reason is because Kaviyachol, when we do Averos, the Shechina seems to leave. It's a Hester Panim. So the Shechina is not going to show with a fire, and he's going to be able to mock Hashem and mock the Beis HaMikdash. B'nafshenu tavanu ke'oti k'lei sharis. Our spirits think when he took out the temple vessels, b'shamim ba'ani shayet b'amli shatreit, and he placed them on ships to use for himself, we know because there's an arch in Rome, the Arch of Titus, and it has carved on facsimiles of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash that they proudly paraded through the streets of Rome that they had brought from Yerushalayim. Nashim kisharu kiva arit bekarka abayit na'alat achrit. The woman stared at this tyrant coming. He was scarring the floor with boots. We know that Har Abayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes even on Har Abayis. You have to go to a mikvah before you go up there. You have to take off your shoes. And this guy's taking his army boots and he's destroying the floor of the Beis HaMikdash with his boots. Terrible things. But later the stories continue with different stories. Stories that are some horror, but some a little bit of a silver lining. So when Titus made his final military campaign, he appointed four of his generals to take down the four walls of Jerusalem. Al-Sad Maravi, the four walls of the Temple Mount, really. Al-Sad Maravi Lezecher Yisritbo V'sakha Karkoslinu V'lo Rav Rivo. And we know that Hashem made another miracle that they weren't able to destroy the Western Wall. So when Titus saw that they couldn't destroy the wall, he said, this will be a Zecher, it'll be a memorial. People will know the great Beis HaMikdash I destroyed because the wall will still be there. But we know, what did that mean? That the Shechina is still there. The Shechina is in the West, by the Western Wall, and we still go to the Kotel Maravi to daven. There are many people there right now, sitting on the floor, commemorating Tisha B'Av at the last vestige that we have standing of the Beis HaMikdash of Har Abayis at the Kotel Maravi. But it doesn't end with that story. It ends with a really sad story, a story that unfortunately was repeated throughout history, through the time of the Crusades, and in the Holocaust as well. They send to the land of Utz, the land of Oz, in three ships. They send the Bachuros, these untainted Jewish girls who have never been done averos, and they're going to send her, and they know that when they arrive, they're going to be made into zonos. They're going to be forced to do a horrible, horrible, horrible averos we don't want to describe even. And they don't know what to do. And their only choice is to jump into the water. But they're afraid. Because they're afraid that if they die, they're not afraid of dying. They'll die for Hashem, Al-Kiddush Hashem, just like in the Crusades, when the entire cities of Jews would commit suicide rather than be forced to bow down to the Tzelem, to the idols of the Crusaders. And in the Holocaust, when the Beis Yaakov girls would commit suicide rather than doing horrible things with the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. That way they weren't afraid of, but they were afraid that their bodies would be in the water. Would there be a Tchias HaMeisim? How would their bodies come out at the resurrection of the dead? Hishivanu shivu kavau v'nivche yam v'shitvu atmam yachalin po bayam. They are going to cast themselves together into the sea. Shir v'tishpachol shohu kal yam ki alecho rabnu b'mtsulot yam. And what do? They sing shira at the yam. When they're jumping into the sea, like the Shira, like the song we sang, Yashir, at Kriyat Yamsuf, they're singing Shira. Ki tahamot bo ad nafsham, when they go to the depths, kozot basnu beloshech haknu hachilum amsham, they, all this would come upon us. Please don't forget us. Please allow us to have Tchias HaMeisim. But then, and we know the quote, they knew it too, from Tehillim. The promise, tikvasam natnu lemeshi mi Bashan, that they played their hope that they would be returned from Bashan. The pasuk in Tehillim says, bachurim mi Bashan ashiv, I will return the bachurim, the young men who die from Bashan. Ubisulos ashiv, where will I return the young maidens who throw themselves into the water? Yam. There will be Tchias Mesim, even those who jump into the Yam. Tikvatam Nathan Lameshim, Mibashan, Ubasko Nishma. The Basko said, the heavenly voice said what it was said in Tehillim. Ura Lama Tishon, awake. Why do you sleep? You've done a great Kiddush Hashem, and there will be a Tchias Mesim for you as well, even from the depths of the sea. So the next Kina Yudches, just to speak very shortly. So it's a number of questions. And each of the questions, I mean, we almost have the answer, but the answer is going to be brought in the kina at the end, where Hashem made all these promises to us, and then Hashem, you know, Ata Amarta Etiv Etiv Imach, Hashem promises, I'll be great to you, I'll make you a special, distinguished people, V'lama b'nei Belial, and now there are people, empty people, Belial people, like they translate knaves. Chilulu Shemach, like we talked about, like Rabbi Stone talked about, the Mechalo Hashem, the Lo Shafakta Aleim Zamecha, and you don't do anything about it, like Titus, the Kedusha is not there. Why not? And then they asked a series of questions, each one in the same format. Al Gidalt, Ramamta, Banim, Liyanek, you raised us, Kashay Shisa, Omen, at the Yonek, this is a reference to like Moshe Rabbeinu describes. He's like a nursemaid raising the Jewish people, nursing the people to godless. V'lama dodanim sichum l'shanek v'aryeh b'nei b'dei gorosa mechanek, and the lion comes and strangles. You'd like to provide for his cub. The lion is representative of a lot of the nations that conquered us were compared to lions. Asher youth lion as their symbol. Bavel youth lion as their symbol, etc. And then it keeps going. Same basic format. Why you gave us these promises. You raised us. You shook us through the desert. You brought us into Eretz Yisrael. You split the Yam for us. Now, why are you allowing this to happen? Now, Hashem, Kaviyachu, did all this effort on our behalf. Why would all of a sudden he make the Kedusha appear to disappear from Har HaBayis, as Rabbi Stone described, with Titus? And then the very end describes the answer. It's a very simple answer. It's an answer that's in Eicha itself, in chapter 3. Ata tzadika ko abba aleinu, lecha Hashem astak vaditak v'chiva v'lama ne'inu v'lanu abdiba ki kozot basu b'chova. You are the one who's right. You're the tzadik for everything that's happened. You have all tzedakah, all righteousness is with you. And you do this with love. Why then do we complain? We lament, Kikozos Basnu, why did this happen? Bechova. It's because of us. It's because when we don't feel that Kedusha, when we don't act as that Am Kadosh, when we don't express ourselves, then Hashem, Kaviyachol, won't have the Kedusha apparent anymore to us. So it's really in us, it's our fault, and it's us, it's with us to repeat. So Chaf Aleph is a kina that describes Isaiah Levanon, Adirei Torah, the cedars of Lebanon, the masters of Torah, who are our real cedar trees, who are our stalwart, give us strength. Bali Tzitzim. The Mishnah, the Gemara, they shield bearers, they wear shields. In the Mochamto, Shel Torah, the Mishnah, the Gemara, Giburei Koach, Amaleah, Betara, the Giburim, they're great heroes in battle. In their through their Amelus, through their strenuous work, that they toil in purity. Damam Nishbach Kamayim Minasa Gevura, their blood spilled like water. Kinam and their strength sapped. Kinam Kidoshi Aruge Malchus Astara. The 10 Aruge Malchus, Al Ela Nibochia Veini Nigra. And this is what we're crying for. We talk about the Yotzar Aruge Malchus. This Kina was written not by Elazar Kalir, it was written later on. And it describes where Meir ben Yechiel of Ashkenaz, and it describes the 10 great Torah scholars who died. It's really two generations. One was the generation immediately following the Churban Bayis Sheni. And the second, a few years later, we talked about this earlier, one of the things we mourn on Tisha B'Av is the fall of Beitar, the Bar Kokhba revolt, when shortly after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Bar Kokhba claimed to be Mashiach. He was so charismatic, even Rabbi Akiva believed him, and he had a great rebellion against the Romans, which was taken down horribly and brutally. At that time, Rabbi Akiva and many of the Chazal of that time were killed. Why do we talk about this? We talked about this earlier. It's a theme, and we talked about it with Yoshio HaMelech. Now we're talking about it with the Saramuke Malchus. Later we're going to talk about it with the Jews who died at the time of the Crusades. And later we'll talk about it when we talk about the keynotes that we add appropriately about the Shoah from the previous generation. That Shekula Misasam Shasadikim Kisrefas Beis Elokeinu. That the death of our Sadiqim is both a cause and a tragedy equal to destruction of the Beis Hashem, as Rabbi Stone said earlier. If really what we're mourning is the fact that the Kedusha is not there and it has to be within us to have the Kedusha, when we lose these great Kedoshim, how much harder it is for us. And so it talked about a famous story. They went up to Inam Zos Bezachri Azak Za'aka Gedola Umara. They had a great Za'aka Chemzat Yisrael Kleya Kodes Nezer Vatar Ta'ori Le Kadush Kodeshe Kodeshim. The pure people, the Kodesh Kedashim Shechitasim B'misa Chamura. They all died in horrible ways. Yado Goro Mirisho Lechera Barura. So when they had the first time, they had Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, who had the Nasi, and Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, and they made a lottery who should go first. Kinofo Goro Rabbi Shimon Pasha Tavaro Bacho Kenitzu Agazera. So he stretched out his head, Rabbi Shimon, when they made the decree. The Rabbi Shimon Chazar Agmon Lahargo Benefesh Netzura, and the executioner turned and killed him with his fury. So he was killed horribly, beheaded. Mizera Aaron Chal Bavakasha Livchota Ben Agvira Natal at Rosh Omenatno Alakavosa Minora Tahora Sam Eda Vaeda Vapiba Piba Ava Bumura Ada Vamar Pamis Kaber Batar Pitom Nitnes Alab Misa Mishuna Vahamura. So what they had was, it was very interesting, Rabbi Shmuel, the story that described is Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. He wasn't Kohen Gadol, really. He was a descendant of the Kohanim. I believe he was a Kohen Gadol. I think he served in the Beis Hamikdash. I'm not sure at the Churban time. The daughter of the king of the Caesar was so enamored with his beauty. He was very, very beautiful that she didn't want him to die. And then they made a compromise, a horrible, it shows how horrible they are. That they'll take off his skin and then they'll make him into like a toy, like a stuffed. So she'll still be able to look at him. Horrible stuff. Siva lahafshit et rosho amelach bizar haskira. So they're going to flay his skin with a razor. Kiyam ba'oro amru l'nafshe tzachina avorai rasha poshet esi gielim kom tefillin mitzvah baro. When they got to the makom tefillin, they're flaying his skin. And he wore the tefillin every single day, all day long, because he was one of the kedoshim. Shima sa'aka v'nida olam eretas baro tamo zuchutu l'doros kol Hashem ba'adara. He cried so loud when they brought, when they, not because of the pain, but because of the Kedusha, that he reached Makom HaTfilin on his head, that the land shook, and we still have his, the Zechus, that he died. Then they talk about Rabbi Akiva, Ma'achora ve'viu as Rabbi Akiva, Oker, Hari, Mitochlan, Zuba, Zuba, Svara. We know Rabbi Akiva, there are two different types of great Tamid Chacham, there's Sinai and Oker. Hari, Sinai means that they have the Bekiyas knowledge, that they know everything. Oker, Hari means they can push mountains together with their Svara, that they have such a strong analysis ability. And when it comes to pilpul, when it comes to svar, when it comes to logic and analysis. So Rabbi Akiva was oker hari mitokan zubisvar. He could push mountains together with his great analysis in Torah. And what did they do? They flayed him, and they did him in a big arena with all of his students watching, flaying him alive with iron comb. That Pesar Masarki Mamatrik Arbarzo Lishtabra Yasta Nishmasa Be'acha Debasko Amra. The famous story, which it doesn't mention here, is it's another of the laughing stories. So all the Tamidim are crying that they're flaying his skin alive. Rabbi Akiva laughing. He's laughing when they're killing him. And the Tamidim are like, why are you crying? And he's like, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? And he's like, why are you crying? You're crying because you're being killed. He said, I'm laughing because my whole life I wanted to keep every mitzvah in the Torah. And it says, Ba'afta Hashem b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha, with all your heart and with all your nafshecha, with all your soul, and all your modecha, all your money. And nafshecha I know means afilo atanoto nafshecha, even if they're going to kill you, you love Hashem with your last strength of your life, and I never knew would I be able to be mekayim this. And that's why I'm laughing, because I know that I'm being able to be mekayim this great mitzvah. Yasta nishmaso be'echad, and when he got to the, he said, Hashma, Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, when he got to Echad, his neshama left him. Ubasko amra, Rekiva, Ashrecha, Gufcha, Tara, B'chol Minei Tara, great for you, Ashrecha, happy are you, you're always happy, you're always laughing. Your body was tar. Everything about you was tar. Ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda, Achara, Veviu, Beshivron, Leva, Zar, Nera, Ben Shivim, Shana, Bidei, Risha, Arura, Yoshe, Betani, Sayanaki, Bechasid, Bimlach, the Lamara. Ben Bava was fasting. He was the great zechus for the people that he would fast, and they killed him. Hanania, Ben Tradya, Achara, Mako, Pilot, Betzion, Zahara, Yosef Vidorit Sefer Torah Imo, he was the one, he was doing his drushas with the Sefer Torah with him. So what did they do? They decide to wrap the Sefer Torah around him and put twigs and burn the Sefer Torah, and he'll be burned alive. As the Ari Situ Bafahem, the Karukum and Sefer Torah, Uvaru Bo Avara, the Libo Savukim Shal Semer, Nichol Shalo Yamos Be'era, they put these moistened bits of wool so he wouldn't die quickly in the famous story. Then they asked him, what do you see? And he said, I see that the Torah is burning, but the letters are going up to the Shemayim. That the Kedusha of the Torah, you can't burn it. And there's also a famous story that there was one of the executioners, and he saw Hanania ben Trajan dying in this horrible, painful, slow death because they were slowing down the death with the wool. And he said, is there a way I can help you in any way? He said, put away the wool, I can die quicker and not be in much pain. He did that, and he then jumped into the fire and died with him. Chassid, Rabbi Yeshova, Vasofa, Ergu, Amamora, Zarkov, Yishlechu, Leklavim, Leuk, Vakvura, then Rabbi Yeshova was thrown to the dogs. Kobasko, Yatza, Alav, Shoinia, Kulum, Mitaras, Moshe, the Shamra. He never had anything from the Torah of Moshe he didn't keep. Amara, Es, Rabbi Chanina, Ben Chakinai, Vachar, Rab Kutzpis, Biyom Evra, Biyad Ofa, Poreak, Bahaval, Biv, Nisrak, Madura. This is right, the famous Rab Chutzpit, Tamaturgaman. He was the one who would explain, because some of the rabbis, they didn't have a loud voice, and they didn't have, or maybe they didn't explain it well. So there'd always be someone there who would both amplify what the rabbis were saying, and they'd explain it better. That's what Chutzpah Tatrugim, they say that they actually put his tongue and they tied it to a horse and they dragged him along the streets. And he died that way horribly with his tongue they had used to explain the Torah. Tzadik Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua Bachrona Nerak Madekra. The last one is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. And then Yomer of Shabbos Hayazman Kiddush v'Yikadik v'Yikra. It was the time of Kiddush, and he was saying Kiddush Cherev Shalpu Alam Lo Nikol B'Chayim L'Sayim L'Gamra Nishmasa Yotze Nishmasa B'Bara Elokim Yotze V'Tzar Tzura. He's saying Kiddush Friday night, and the sword comes, and he can't finish Kiddush, and he dies at Bara Elokim, when God created. Because really, as we know, the Tzaddikim, they're the ones who hold up the Bria. If there would be a moment that there wouldn't be someone in the world learning Torah, then the world would be Chozer, would go back to Tov Vavoh. So they were the ones, you know, the last words before he died was Bara Elokim, because these are Sara Mugri Malkos, and all of us in our yeshivas until today are the ones keeping the Bria around. And we describe this. L'tzedek yimlok melech, Hashem will reign. V'shamu yimeyev lech la'ora nisa v'nelech. We know that eventually the days of mourning will end. We mourn for these horrible tzaddikim. Shekula misasan shel tzaddikim. The sarah mugimelk in tzrukos base Elokeinu. Kinach HaBeis, I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to talk a lot more about this when we get up to Kinach HaFei, because they're both about the same theme. It talks about the European communities, specifically mostly in Germany, who were destroyed in the time of the Crusades. I'll talk generally here, and then I'll talk specifically in detail in Chafei. So we know that in 1096, there was a pope who decided to make a crusade to free the Holy Land from the infidel, because the Muslims were in Eretz HaKadosha and Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. And then on the way, they realized, why are we going around the world to attack, quote-unquote, the infidel, when we have, quote-unquote, the infidel in our backyard, the Jews? So let's go. And they went from city to city. And this would happen, by the way, during the time of Suras HaOmer. And it's one of the reasons why Suras HaOmer, the Avelos in the Ashkenazic countries, became much stronger. And they attacked Worms, Vermeiza, and they attacked Cologne, and they attacked Mainz, Magenz. And in each city, one of the things, and this is incredible, actually, and it's both in, we have a lot of writings. There's Crusader Chronicles written by, I guess, survivors. And there's Jewish survivors, and there's Crusader Chronicles written by the Goyim, Yimach Shemam, who were in the Crusades. And they describe the same phenomenon. They would come to a city, a Jewish city, and they'd come in, and there'd be no one alive. Because what happened? They knew that they were going to force them to bow down to the idols. They were going to kidnap their children and force them to raise them in the monasteries as priests and monks and what have you. And they said, this is our time to be Kaya Shem Shemayim. And entire communities decided to die Al Kiyash Hashem before the enemy would even arrive. That's how much they had strength, like the story we had before. As Rabbi Stone said, this is the real Kedusha, the Kedusha inside of us, like we had with the women on the ships, with the young ladies, that they were willing to die Al Kiyash Hashem rather than be subject to whatever Averos they were going to be forced to do, that they wouldn't have a choice. They'd forcibly do it rather than do that. So this is the story, and we commemorate this on Tisha B'Av. We're going to talk about that in Chaf Hei.
Acharishu. Just to add one piece to the belt, he points out, the Skina, he says this, but the Skina is separate from the other one, from the Crusades, from Spear and Magenta. Because this was, aside from the fact that this was speaking about the beginning of the Crusades, which took place in France and by the border of Germany, but the people that lived in those towns were the Rishonim. But the Rishonim that we study every day, the Baalei Tosfos, And they were the victims in this particular kina. That's who the kina is referring to. That's why it's separate from the other one. It was the Rishonim who we live based upon. All of our learning is based upon what they explained to us. Aside from the cheshbon that's made in the kina,
Yeah, that's what I was
the calculation that they make in this kingdom. If we aren't allowed to raise you to Torah, that the Zakenim that we're speaking about in this kingdom are the Balei Tosfos. And they made the following calculation, the Kina says. They said to their children, if we weren't able to raise you for Torah, then we will raise you for Korbanos. And instead of being Balei Torah, then you'll be, as the Kina says, we weren't Zalka, we didn't marry to raise you for Torah, Nakrivchem Ka'ema V'Haktorah. Then we'll be Makriv you. Will sacrifice you like an Oma and Haktorah, like an offering, and together, because of our own killing ourselves, Al Kiddush Hashem, together we'll be Zeichet Ta'or to the light Hatzvun Me'en Kol Ba'aluma, and that's how we'll fulfill our destiny. At the end of the Kina, the reason it's connected to Arzei Halavonim is because these were the Gedalei Torah. These were the Rishonim. These were the Balei Tosfos. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the Kina, Rebelsky points out, at the end of the Kina is Mi Katsa Bigvoyes Mi Yasasis Ta'arim. Who's going to be the one to deal with the difficult sugyas now? Mi Yafora Kavoyes. Who's going to answer all the kashas we have? Well, Mi Yitoris Shavarim. And who's going to answer up all the contradictions in learning we have? Mi Yafmin Naziris. Who's going to explain to us the Nazir, Umiyaruch Nadorim, who's going to understand the Dorim to the degree that we need? Mi Yishadim Mamakev V'chato Akor in Korim. All the terror, all the confusion, all the things that we don't know, this is what was destroyed when this was who the victims of this particular point of the Crusades was. And that's why it follows after the loss of Torah of the Hegel Tanayim, the Bechiva and Chaveirot, so it brings now this Kina of all the Torah that's lost for us.
Chav Gimel tells a really sad story, and it individualizes the Chorban, because it tells the story about the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We talked about Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and how he died because he was so beautiful that when they wanted to kill him, like they wanted to kill all the great Talmidei Chachamim, they decided to flay his skin, and how he cried when it reached the Makom HaTefillin. So he had beautiful children. His children were put into slavery, into captivity. And the story is, Eish Nishbu Venaflu Lishnei Adonim, Vehem Shechenim Zilu Vazechonim. So he had a son, he had a daughter. They were both slaves, you could imagine, in Rome. And they were next door neighbors. Vesapro Zelaze in Yanim, Ze Amar Beshiviat Zionim, Shaviti Shivka Lavusha Shanim, Kilavada Beziz, Cluster Panim. He said, I captured this beautiful maiden. She's so beautiful. She has such a panim to her, a ziv. She shines, a radiant like the moon, like the stars. And then his neighbor says, you know, I got a manslave, I called, a little boy, a teenager. Hey, honey, Bob, Mishivre Yerushalayim, Shavisi Eved, Yifei Einayim, Kishemesh, she shines like the sun, she shines like the moon, he shines like the sun, B'takbo Eitz Arayim, B'tzar Eitz Zimana, Hishlimu V'ayimu Yami Amina. So what do they do? Bob and his dog game, B'nechaoka B'nitayim, let's make a shidduch. We'll take the two beautiful slaves, we'll make a shidduch between them, we'll divide up the kids, they'll be beautiful children. So now, what's going to happen? That night, in a very dark chamber, they put the two slaves together. And the masters are outside. They have one heart. What do they want? They want beautiful slaves, so they can do all the horrible things they can do with them. They want beautiful slave children. And what's happening? These two children, the son and the daughter, Yishmael Kohen Go, they don't know who they're being forced to be with, and they're crying. Ad boker b'chiyasam lo idmima. They cry until the morning. Zeh yispod b'yikod levav yimsa nin aron. So the son, he says, I'm the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. Eikla shivka. He knows, don't say, I can marry a non-Jewish slave girl. B'yigam hi tiyel b'sigwa shosa bas yocheved. I'm the daughter of Yocheved. I'm a Yiddish daughter. Eikla evet tinase. I can marry a slave. Oy kizos gazar omer veosa. Oy, that this happened to us. The zot yivku ash ksilvachima. Even the constellations are weeping. We mourn each year, just like we mourn for the big tragedies. We mourn for each little horrible world that destroyed. Or boker zeh zeh kiro. Then the white light of morning comes, and they recognize each other. Hoyachi, hoyachos, igviru. They realized my brother, my sister. Nitchabku yachad nitchabru, and they embrace together. Adyat nishmasu nishima, until they die with nishima. We talk about how Aaron HaKohen was zochah to die with nishima, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and they die with their last breath. The children of Yishmael. Nizot yekonin yirmiyah Mashiach gezira zutami na nibochia. This was what Yirmiyah was doing a kina about when he said, yikod gviya, and my heart burned to fire. Ben ubas mispeid rab nanima, maybe yami yamima, for the son and the daughter, Yishmael Kohen Gadol, the great Yiddisha. How many stories are there like this? This is just one. And they would not defile themselves. And in the morning they realized it was brother and sister, and they died together. One interesting thing about this, it starts with the letter Vav. Alan pointed out, I talked from Rabbi Stone and my daughter's bar mitzvah about the letter Vav and how it puts things together, how we should all aspire to be the Vav Achibor. And I think this beautiful story, which has a horrible ending, but it's a beautiful story of the love of a brother and a sister and the love of each of them for Hashem. And perhaps that's why it's conjoined, that this story starts V.S. Navi Chatasi Yishmima, with the Vav Achibor at the beginning, because these two were Achibor together of Yiddish souls, representing all the Yiddish souls who have died, but their Kedusha and their heart remained throughout these horrible Chorbans. V'et Navi Chatasi Yishmima. So Kina Cafe is another Kina about the Crusades. Mi Yitain Rosh Yimayim Reini Mekor Nozlai. This kino was written by Rav Kalonimus Ben Yehuda of Spire. So he's from one of the German communities of the Crusades, and Rav Kalonimus, as we know, Kalonimus family comes from a very long, old Ashkenazic family. And one interesting thing, just a broad thing about the kinos and the Crusades, continuation to what Rabbi Stone was saying, the name of Rebelsky. So at that time, the communities of Germany and France were really, in many ways, not separate communities. They went back and forth. They weren't really countries yet. Rashi, the great Rashi, was born in France. He's a French. He went to the German yeshivas to learn, and then he went back to France. And then the Balei HaTosfos from Rashi's grandchildren were in France. And this is really, if you think about this, this is always one of the stories throughout history of the way Hashem organizes the world of Torah, that the Torah will never be destroyed. The communities in Germany were destroyed in the Crusades, and the rabbis were saying, as Rabbi Stone said, "Mi yafli naziros, mi yarok nadarim, mi yish." Who's going to solve all the Torah? And meanwhile, the community in France, the Torah of Germany, had already been transmitted by Rashi back to France. So that when the Crusades destroyed Germany, the Torah still was alive and spreading throughout all the French Balei HaTosfos. And then 100 years later, there's not going to be a Crusade, but there's going to be the famous story, which we have a kina for as well, where they burn 24 wagon loads of the Gemara, of the Talmud, right in front of the Notre Dame, who people cried when it burned down this year. a little bit. There were a lot of people who weren't crying because we remembered Jewish history, that there were 24 wagon loads of Gemara that were burned right in front of there in Paris, France, just a few hundred years ago. And at that time, how are they going to learn Torah without all of the Gemaras? So what happens? The French, if you look, the later Balei Tosfos are all from Germany, the Maharam Mirudenberg, the Mordechai. What happened was they thought they destroyed the Torah, but it reversed. All the French Balei Tosfos had taught all the German Balei Tosfos back again, so the Torah wasn't destroyed. And then a generation later, when the French and the Germans are both hunted down, so you have the funny story of the Rashba, the most you have the funny story of the Rush, who is the Talmud Muvak of Maharam Mirudenberg. He's the most Ashkenaz that Ashkenaz can get, being appointed by the Rashba as the chief rabbi of Toledo, Spain, because he was able to get out and transmit the Torah of the French and the German Balei Tosfos to the Jews in Spain. And then by the time of the Spanish Inquisition, that Torah had been transmitted already to Sfat and to other countries as well. So the Torah remains. They tried to get us, but each time there's always a Sheres Aplata. When the Nazi destroyed Europe, the Chorban Europe, there was already yeshivos both in America and in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't that big yet. But then the Sheres Aplata can come back and spread the Torah. So this is one lesson I think we see throughout the kinos here from the Crusades and onwards, how the Torah lives on even when they destroy, and we mourn for the Asar Ruge Malchus, we mourn for the great Talmidei Chachamim of the Crusades who were destroyed, and of the Chorban Europe and the Holocaust. But we know that the Torah keeps remaining, that Judaism is international, that we can go from place to place to spread the Torah. One other point here, it describes specifically, why are we talking about this on Tisha B'Av, the Crusade? The Crusade didn't happen on Tisha B'Av, as they described earlier. They happened during the time of the Sfiras HaOmer, and that's one of the reasons we kind of commemorated during the Sfiras HaOmer. They all happened the second half of Sfira, actually. Right, basically mostly between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos is when the Crusades mostly happened. So it describes here how it says, Shimuna alavavka misbid mar lakashra kishakula yasun lisavel yisavel kisrefas beis alokina ulama babira. So first of all, it says what we've been describing, how the destruction of the Talmidei Chachamim and these communities is equal to the destruction of the Beis Hashem and the Ulam and the Bira, the Beis HaMikdash, Kula, Misasun, Shor Tzadikim, Kisrefas, Beis HaLokeno, Ki'ein Lahosip Moed Shever B'Saveira, but we're not supposed to add any other Moed about this. Ve'ein Lahathim Zulasi La'achora, because of that, when are we supposed to subsume all the tragedies throughout Jewish history? And Hayom, on this day, on Tisha B'Av, it's very famous. There's a famous interview, Menachem Begin, when he was Prime Minister of Israel. He said that he believed that really the real Yom HaShoah is not the day that was determined as Yom HaShoah, but the real time that we mourn for the Shoah, this was from the Prime Minister, is Tisha B'Av. Because this is the day throughout history that has been singled out for us to mourn all the tragedies that have happened, which really ultimately are results of the Chorban, which we still live with until today. Kino Lamed Alf, we sing together, and it contrasts the miracles we happened at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim and Kriyat Yamsuf at the Dor HaMidbar and the horrible things that happened to us at the time of the Chorban, specifically the Chorban at the time of Bayis Rishon, at the time of Yirmiyahu. Eish Tukad B'Kibri Alos Alivu Yitziat Mitzrayim, a fire burned within me, I remember Yishvayim, and then we sing lower, V'kini ma'ira lamanas kira b'seisim Yerushalayim. I revoked kinos when I left Yerushalayim. Ad Yasher Moshe, Rishir Lo Yinashem, Mitzvah Mitzrayim, Yad Ad Yasher, Yad Shirah Ta'ayam, when we left Mitzrayim, Yikoni Yirmiyo, V'nei Yinihia Yiyya, and then we have the kinos and the wailing of Yirmiyo and the people when they left Yerushalayim. We talk about how Baisi Yikoni Mishachana Anu, we had the Anon, and when we left Mitzrayim, V'chamat Al-Shachna Allah Ka'anana, and then we have Hashem's wrath, like almost, as we talked about earlier, like a reverse miracle that Hashem is showing his anger on us when we left Yerushalayim. And it goes back and forth like this. And then at the very end, we'll go to the end. Moshe, Yireinu, V'aron, Yanchenu, we had Moshe and Aaron, Mitzitim Yitzrayim, Nebuchadnezzar, V'adriyonet Ketzar, then we have Nebuchadnezzar, and Adriyonet Ketzar at the second base of Mikdash, we have Nebuchadnezzar and Hadrian when we left Yerushalayim. Now, Mechama V'Hashem Meshama, we were fighting a Mechama V'Hashem when we left Yitzrayim, Rachak Mimenu, Vine Yenenu, Mitzitim Yitzrayim, etc., etc. Talks about the different Kalim we had. And then it says, Shulchan, very end, Shulchan, the menorah, Kalil, Ketorah, B'Seitim Yitzrayim, you had the Shulchan, the menorah, the Ketorah, Elo, B'So'eva, B'Peso, Mateva. When we left Mitzrayim, Mishalayim, we had all these idols. That's why we were there, because of all the Avodah Zarah. Torah, Te'uda, B'Klei Chemda, B'Seitim Yitzrayim, but then we end with words of consolation. Sason, V'Simcha, V'Nasyago, V'Anacha, we will have once again happiness and joy. Our sorrow will be gone. Our crying will be no more. B'shuvi Yerushalayim. When we go back to Yerushalayim, b'mhei Rabbi Amin. Lamadal, I'll tell the story. I'll tell it quickly. We're hours late. Talking about a real lady, and I tell the story of Nibuzdaran. Nibuzdaran was the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one who did the dirty work at the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Churban HaBayis. And it tells the story how when he went into the base of Migdash to destroy it, Hayaholik Mesor Adbo Rava Tavachim, there was blood. It said, Yom Akbi Ikvadati, Yiflu Gavona B'shalchi Yad B'dam Navi B'chatar Migdash Hashem, Lo Kitzitu Adama Adbo Chereb Monai. I sent my hand to get the life of a Navi in the Chat of Hashem. Velo Shakat Adei Hukam Vagam Hiflu Tlila Yavire Bevat Yehuda Taniya Vaniya. And it was not silenced until later. What's going on here? So the story goes that at the time of Yoash, who was a king much earlier in the Bayis Rishon, Yoash was a king raised by Yoyada Kohen Gadol, who was a great Kohen Gadol, who snuck Yoash and raised him. Yoash later, when Yada Kohen Gadol dies, he starts to think of himself as almost like an idol. And Zechariah, who was Yoash's adopted brother, tried to stop him. Zechariah is a Kohen, because he's the son of Yada Kohen Gadol, and he is a Navi. And he tries to get Yoash to go back to the right path. And Yoash ordered Zechariah to be killed, and Zechariah is killed in the base of Migdash while he's doing the Avodah. The dam in the base of Mikdash itself, and the dam, as it said, this was 150 years before the Churban, but the dam bubbled; it wouldn't cease for the entire last 150 years of the Bayis Rishon. So the Nebuzdaran comes, and he says, "Hayaholek v'sora adbo rabba tavachim." The chief executioner comes to Nebuzdaran. Ubal Mikdash Hashem umata damim roschim. He sees the blood boiling. He said, "What is this blood?" And so he said, "Oh, it's karbanos." So he starts to slaughter all these animals, and he realizes, "B'chozot lo shakat, v'odo kiyam nigrat." The blood doesn't silence. V'yivakash adam yimati meforash kidam isha lo kim ad alo chamas shorash. He realizes that the dam of Hashem, It's a man of God. And he goes and he's Nidrash, I am going to avenge the blood of Zechariah, the Navi, and the Kohen who was killed in the base of Migdash. So Isvuli HaKohanim, he gathers the Kohanim, Osiyo mi base there, Velo Eshkod. He kills all these Kohanim, and the blood still doesn't stop. Dakar Yeshishin Lameyo to Bachrin Levavos, he kills hundreds of men, tens of thousands. He massacres school children, and the blood doesn't stop. It's a whole, it's a wonder what's going on. So finally, he killed women nursing mothers with their babies. It's like the blood is like the seas of Mitzrayim. Even this evil, wicked murderer, he goes up to the heaven. Is it enough? Already, the blood of the Jerusalem daughters, will you eradicate everyone? And then finally the blood stopped. And this is really we're saying our that we killed the Navi. But you could see it almost as a metaphor that with all, and maybe this is why this is toward the end, it's the only story that we have toward the end of the keynote, so all the others are earlier on, that maybe that there's been enough spilled blood for all the generations of Jews, that maybe we can, like Nebuchadnezzar, go up to the Shemayim and say, Hayin dai ledam bibnot Yerushalayim akala ata oset sherit ha-shivya. Isn't it enough blood already for all the generations from the time of the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, the Asara Rugei Malchus, the Crusades, the Holocaust, and hopefully Vashaka Damnaki Becherav Nakam Revia, that the blood would stop, Bimeir Biyameinu, with the Geula.